Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining us for the weekly Worcester Nazarene podcast, a conversation with our pastors and leaders to help us along our journey of loving God, loving people, and living transformed. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Worcester Naz podcast. So glad that you're joining us. Pastor Nate here, and across here from me, we have Pastor Nathan as our guest today. You know, say hello to the fine people.
Hello, everybody. We're both guests today.
That's actually right. That's right. But somebody had to do the intro, so here we are. For those of you that were here Sunday, we kind of had a bit of an unusual setup. We both kind of tag team the message that we did, mm-hmm. and I would say had a spiritually themed message, but was centered around the reality of the 250th anniversary of our independence as the United States and 4th of July. So we're going to talk a little bit about that and kind of get into some depth and some things that we didn't necessarily discuss on Sunday morning. But I want to just kind of start with asking this question, because one of the things that I mentioned to you was we've done this forever, for as long as I can remember. Right. And so the idea of crafting a message specifically around any patriotic holiday, but particularly around the 4th of July, kind of where does that come from for you? Where did that originate? Did you see that model growing up? You know, what did that kind of look like?
Yeah, it goes back to my patriotic roots. And we were discussing it earlier, some of us, and I have to really think, I was just so inundated with patriotism all around me. Mm-hmm. Just growing up, hearing stories, my parents read classic books around the table, a chapter at a time. And some of those were based upon our founding and things like that. I had uncles and relatives that served in the military, and they were always held in high esteem. I mean, July 4th, Memorial Day gatherings were extended family gatherings where there was extreme thankfulness and prayer for our nation, for our heritage, and all of that.
Yeah.
But I think really, and I remember growing up, I mean, I always wanted to go to parades, 4th of July parades, Memorial Day parades. And there was always, I mean, I was always passionately emotional about it. I mean, I can remember as a little kid, just a lump rise in my throat where I could hardly sing or talk because I was so overcome with emotion and appreciation for it. So in all of our pastorates, I mean, obviously I've been doing this 31 years, so think of how many veterans were still alive when I started all those years ago, 47 years ago, and being privileged to attend some of their funerals, participate, and to have conversations with veterans who mm-hmm. seemed to be willing to open up to me, it was really life-shaping. Yeah. And then in school, patriotism was everywhere, pledged to the flag every day, and the flag being placed up front and center. All kinds of songs, and I can remember things very well when it's a form of music, like lyrics that goes right with it. And so I think every front, and I don't remember my dad being a pastor. I don't remember if he talked about it that much at church, but especially at the home.
Yeah.
And I think it all goes back to what we try to stress on Sunday. The Bible, many times from cover to cover, Old Testament, but we read in Psalm on Sunday 77 and 8 that it's about making sure we pass on these wonderful memories and all of that. And I love it. We were at a gathering on Friday with family and friends, and I loved it because the host really gave a fiery, passionate speech, really for the kids and for all, about the wonders of this country and the appreciation of all. And that's the kind of atmosphere I grew up in.
Yeah.
Nothing negative. I mean, recognize my dad would always say something like this: I don't know that things are any worse now than they've ever been. It's just that they're more exposed. It's more out in the open, because said people are people. They have always had struggles. But,
right.
But everywhere I turned, I was hit by that.
Yeah.
And always loved the music of patriotic music. I mean, you know, I have playlists, and all this week, you know, I just blasted all of these songs, just from all kinds of backgrounds, even some country, I admit, for some of you out there. Yeah. So I just picked it up. It's kind of like through osmosis. It just kind of soaked in.
Right. And I mean, I can kind of attest to the same thing, because, you know, one of the things that I always appreciated about our home growing up is there was always a lot of room for questions. And I can remember times as a kid, you know, asking questions about something and you or mother coming back with, well, I don't know, but I'll find out, or let's go find out together, you know, something like that. And that was true of history. That was true of all these things. You know, I remember, you know, you started us off so young watching things that were probably like people would say like, well, we're too young to watch that. Yeah. But things like the Roots series, the original one, not the remake that came out a few years back, North and South as well. Obviously, later on, things like Gettysburg and some of these movies that were so rich historically. And I think that's where I got my love of history, not so much just from the fact that these are names and dates and things that happen, but thinking of it as like, these are real people that really went through this, you know, and this, and they were the same as I am. They had motivations like me, they had dreams like me, but they were experiencing this thing. And it really made history come to life.
I had history courses galore in high school and even college at Olivet. And I loved those. And I always aced those. Those were easy for me.
Yeah.
And when it came to math and science, that wasn't my bit, but I loved it. And I remember even in high school, everybody come like, oh, I just don't want to know all these dates and everything. I can remember very few tests where it was really focused on the date.
Right.
It was more of a time period and things like that. Sure. 1776, et cetera, like that. But you know, that wasn't what it was about. I think people let that psych them out about history. I go, no, it's the stories. It's it's the real people that sacrificed so that we could have here. And it occurred to me again, and I touched on it Sunday a little bit, but a structure is only as good as its foundation.
Yeah.
And with all of our problems, I tried to say it this way, with all the struggles that we have, the warts, the cracked bell, the flawed bell that I use for example, with all those things, the reason we are still enduring is because the foundation was rock solid.
Right.
And the only foundation that works are ones based upon truth, timeless truth, God's word, biblical principles. That's why good foundations can stand all kinds of storms and stress and strain, but it's been below the freeze line. But that's what my prayer is and my concern is now about people that are going after the foundation. Because if you remove the foundation, I don't care, the greatest structure is coming down.
It's coming down, yeah.
And it's going to be damaged.
Yeah, yeah. So I guess I want to ask you, because we've never really talked about this, but for us growing up, like I said, we got exposed to a lot of these things. Obviously, also, you know, our vacations always almost had something historical attached to it, whether it was going to D.C. and, you know, we'd end up at the beach. You know, we'd go to Washington, D.C., or we'd go to Gettysburg, or I remember going to Williamsburg, Mount Vernon, and some of these places.
Some of the president's properties and things like their homes, you know.
And so I'm kind of curious from you,
Monticello,
how intentional was that for you with us growing up as kids? You know,
I think it was organic.
Yeah.
It just was natural. I never thought that whether or not you kids would love music in America. I just assumed you would
and
be patriots. And so I think that was just the now natural outflow, organic. It wasn't like we had this 10-point plan. It's just like, that's a part of who we are.
Yeah.
And especially in the summertime or in the early fall, and we'd take vacations. I mean, that was on the, and you know, those were life-changing experiences to stand on the walk that mile across the open plain,
Pickett's
Charge at Gettysburg. I mean, that's life-changing. Yeah. How could you not be, when you see it in reality, think, unbelievable what these troops did in the face of withering fire. So no, I don't think it was intentional. I just think it's a part of who we were.
Yeah.
Telling stories.
Yeah.
And watching things, experiencing things that really underscored the preciousness of our country the founders.
So just as a side note to that, what would you say to parents now who, after some of our message like yesterday, you know, how do I help my kids understand this and move forward with this and have a desire to learn about it? What would you say to them now?
You can't live in the past, but you can sure talk about it. And I don't think enough people do that well enough. The stories, the memories, and all of that. And I think that's one thing. I think another thing that we did in our home too, but reading, we have more resources than ever before, for example. I mean, just for example, if you want to know more about history, go to Wall Builders. Dave Barton and his son Tim now, that's really the heir apparent. They have resources galore for kids on topics that are controversial. And then you just talk about them. Incorporate that into family times around the table. Find classic books or find books that are written even. They don't have to be on a kiddie level, but have them inspire to understand them. And then if they ask questions about it so much. But I think use the resources that are out there.
Yeah.
Digital resources for good. You know, they can be used for bad, but there's a lot of good applications. Yeah. And certainly when it comes to history and finding things that would be kid friendly are good. But I don't think we should spare them all the details of of things that weren't so good in our country. But again, it's not to leave a bad taste in our mouth and say, oh, we were all bad. No, solid foundation, but we have to keep remodeling.
So well, and I think that's one of the things too, is that you guys, I think there's this illusion, maybe delusion with people nowadays that, well, if you love American history and you love America, it's because you don't really know the history. Right. You don't know the things about slavery or women's suffrage. You don't go through these things. And what's one of the things that I always appreciated about our home growing up, it's like we talked about those things before it was popular to talk about those things.
Right.
Like I said, I mean, watching, being exposed to things like Roots, going to places like Gettysburg, seeing these things where you were emphasizing all the aspects. I mean, going to a place like Monticello, and you're in Jefferson's house and you're seeing all these amazing things, but you're also going to tour the slave quarters and you're going to hear about what that was like and what life was like and the overseers that were there. You know, there was never a sugarcoating of it.
Yeah. Were you on the trip or what? Maybe it was at Jefferson's place, but that's where they went in the spiel, the guide.
Oh,
this is where separation of church and state came from. And again, that is so bogus.
Right.
The whole idea was to keep the state from invading the church, for goodness sake, not to keep God out of our country. And that was taken so out of context. And for example, that's where you can go to Wall Builders and find just wonderful essays on the truth, the actual rendering of that letter and all those things. So, but I remember I was just grimacing inside when they started in that spiel.
I remember the conversation after.
Yeah, right. After we did. Yeah. I didn't talk back to the guy. No. I don't think it would have been inappropriate, but in the vehicle, we talked to that.
Yeah. So I want to kind of take a bit of a turn and get into the more spiritual aspect of this. And first of all, I just want to ask, you know, I addressed this a little bit, but what would you have to say to those who maybe they were here on Sunday or they weren't here on Sunday because they knew it was close to 4th of July? What would you have to say to somebody who basically come up to you and say, well, I just don't think these are the things we should be talking about in church? Why would we talk about these, quote, non-spiritual things in the church?
Yeah. I've never thought of America in a non-spiritual sense. I don't think of America in a secular sense. I think of it as the roots, the founders, the stories, the sacrifice, and all of that. So to me, it's just been something we've always done. And I've seen other places where they've had big patriotic churches or celebrations at a church. I mean, really fantastic musicals and things like that for the community. And a new pastor come in with a new vibe and just shut it all down. And guess what? Before long, the pastor's out of there because he's not sensing the heartbeat of the community or that outreach. So it just goes together. Our ultimate is loving God, but man, if you can't see God's blessing and provision for our country and all the good that's come through us and continues in spite of the flaws. I mean, I was raised very conservatively, but in a very optimistic home, really. It wasn't about negative. It's about look at all the blessings we have.
Yeah.
So I don't know if that's the answer, but I just felt I'm so passionate about it, and I just feel like people are... We have a big thing about the truth of God's word. And since our constitution was based upon biblical principles, we need to talk about those things because we have especially confused and we think all things political and we don't think, no, there's a higher law and that's God's law. And God's word of truth trumps every secular opinion.
Right.
And so that's why I think it's important that we find out about the truth about our history. I mean, history, the truth of history is what really happened, for goodness sake.
Right.
And what better way to go than to the founders? And then when you see that all their references to scripture and that a republic can only be as good as the moral fabric of people. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why, because I think there's so much confusion. And I think that's what it's like. People, are we allowed to talk about that? Are we allowed to talk about it in the church?
Yeah.
We're being intimidated and beat down, like you can't speak up. We can espouse our secular views all we want, but Christianity doesn't have a place.
Yeah.
And I totally disagree.
Right.
Because that has been the heartbeat of our country for years.
And I know that's been one of the things that I've been landing on with things like this. Like, this is pastoral.
Yeah,
you know, being able to have these conversations and to sit down and again, have these that are uncomfortable for some people and have these discussions and basically say, hey, you know, I don't want to tell you what to think, but we need to really be careful about how we're thinking about these things. You know, I've often said I can get behind anybody's opinion, even if I disagree with it, if I know they have really invested time in understanding, because our opinions are our own, our experiences are our own, but you have to look at the realities of what happened.
Well, yesterday we were sourcing all of our quotes. I mean, these are from actual documents. We listed the month, the day, and the year.
Yeah.
So we're not fabricating and making these things up. And it's just like you use the term, you know, that's out there negatively, that curator or whoever. Oh, I'm so disturbed about Christian nationalism.
Yeah, well,
what people don't know, we accept these terms and we demonize these things, but if you really get into the meaning of it and all, it's not controversial at all.
Yeah.
And the other thing is too, we're so loyal, seemingly to brands and our fathers, this, that, or the other. And we've got to say again, like I said, I'm a child of God. That is my identity.
Right.
And that's the lens that I need to view all these things through.
Right.
Things political, social issues, I have to look through the clarity of the I am a child of God right. lens. And that impacts, and that's way beyond a person. But it's not, I don't look to people or leaders to solve the moral issues.
Right.
You talked about that. Right. Spiritual issues have spiritual solutions only.
Yeah.
So, but I think we look to, we're so hopeful that this person is going to deliver us or whatever,
right.
you know? But it's not that way.
Right.
And that's what happened in Jesus' day. They were looking so hard for the Messiah that they overlooked
missed him. Yeah.
Yeah. And he was right there.
Yeah. So. And I think too, you know, there's just that, again, getting into that reality of how to think of realizing that there is a way to actually look at things, to observe
right.
things, to take them in.
Yeah.
And let that affect you. Let that have a thing. And I think for me that the thing that I've realized is part of what's going on in terms of all of the negativity that starts to come towards the church right now related to political things is, well, your religion and your politics should be separate. As Christians, we don't have the benefit of compartmentalization.
Right.
If you can even call it a benefit.
Right.
All of our lives are supposed to be surrendered to Christ. All of our right. lives are supposed to be controlled by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
All of it. And so right. we don't get to say, well, yeah, this is my church life and this is my spiritual life and this is my home. No, it's
yeah.
my life belongs to Christ. And there's something yeah. that comes along with that. There's an accountability. There's a responsibility that comes along with that, that yeah. I think we're starting to lose the intensity and the importance of that in our everyday lives.
Yeah. In the preparation time, I can't remember if I read it, heard it, watched it, but they were talking about, let's see, get my train of thought here. They were speaking of, it's just slipped my mind. It's complex, but I'll make it simple. So let's go on.
Okay. I'll come back to it.
Yeah.
I'll come back. All right. To no, it. All good.
Yeah.
So let's talk a little bit about, some of the realities of spiritual awakening and renewal.
Yeah.
Because obviously we spent some time on that and how that affected what happened in the revolution, but just how that's an example for us today.
Yeah.
So give me a little bit of that. You'd had that specific movie that kind of came up that sent you on a rabbit trail of diving into all this. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if I quoted it correctly, but in that movie, A Great Awakening, the main character was Benjamin Franklin. George Whitfield was the pastor. It was so influential in his life and really bringing Benjamin Franklin to faith in Jesus at the end of his life.
Yeah.
Somebody said to him, a colleague, was Whitfield a part of the revolution? And he stopped, paused, looked at him and said, no, Whitfield was the revolution. Mm. So he wasn't saying it was about a man, but it was the message, it was the gospel that was released. 80% of the colonies heard him yeah. in person, as I mentioned yesterday. 18,000 sermons in America over 34 years, not counting the 14,000 he did in England.
Right.
So they were so profoundly influenced by that.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what we've got to think. Some of our founders weren't that old when they actually signed the document.
Right.
So think about the years, because we're talking the spiritual awakening started what in the 30s,
30s late 40s,
30s,
yeah.
40s. So they were very young and yeah. were probably many of them born into that kind
yeah.
of influence. So
yeah.
it was just natural. And we assume that a lot of things that they didn't talk about enough, people knew. It's just like right. when Jesus was talking in context, and we'll talk about that Lord's Prayer in the next series, the people knew automatically. He didn't have to explain it all. They knew.
Right.
And I think that's true in our, yeah. in that context as well.
And I think people, it's hard culturally to understand now. And obviously the king is still the head of the Church of England.
Right.
But it's hard for us culturally to understand because it's so much more secularized than it was then. Mm-hmm. It's so hard to understand that in right. order for you to rebel politically, you also had to rebel spiritually.
Yeah, right.
You were going against
right.
the head of the church that had set themselves up as the ultimate authority
yeah.
and
yeah.
say, no, our king is Christ
right.
and we follow him. That mm-hmm. in and of itself was a revolutionary statement. And again, we think yeah. of them as separate.
Yeah.
Because we've so separated those things in culture now. But at the time, if you yeah. were going to go through a spiritual renewal and a return to the reality of Christ as our ultimate ruler and Christ as our ultimate king, it was going to stir up questions
sure.
about the monarchical system that existed.
Well, and the truth of it is, pastors were at the point.
Yeah.
They were passionate patriots, and they would recruit for the revolution
yeah.
from from the people in their church, they would, some of them would actually have a uniform on under their robe, and after they preached, they would go out and join what they believed was a righteous, you know, they were righteously ignited against all of the things that were being oppressive to them.
Yeah, I remember there's a line from a movie about the revolution, and it's one where the local vicar is going off because he's gonna actually join this militia.
Right.
And one of the people is just like almost pearl clutching, "Oh, Reverend, why would you go do this?" And he said, "Well," he's like, "a pastor must care for his flock and sometimes fight off the wolves."
And that
was the sentiment at the time.
And so they had great. Unlike today, where pastors aren't respected as much, they were so respected back then. They were probably among the most educated many times.
Absolutely,
and all of the above. So, I just think we've given up a voice, and I know we have to tread softly in some areas, but not when it comes to compromising on truth. And the truth of God's word and the truth of history. So I'm not going to accept it just because somebody makes it up and says that there is absolutely no connection to spiritual things, Christianity, in our founding, in our roots. I mean, that, what a ludicrous, can you imagine somebody saying that just a few years ago or a couple of decades ago? I mean, that would have been just... they would have been ostracized, but now people don't check. They just, because it's out there, they accept it and receive it. So that's a concern. So that's another reason why we talk about these things and keep saying the same thing, hopefully in different ways.
Yeah.
That it matters.
Absolutely.
What we believe.
Absolutely. And again, not ever trying to be offensive, but there are going to be times as pastors and as teachers, we're going to offend you. You know, we're never thinking about specific people or taking swings at specific situations, but you know, we've got that thing of as leaders, as pastors, we have a responsibility to talk about things that make us uncomfortable.
And there will be opposition.
There always has been.
It's not a new thing, as you mentioned Sunday. Yeah. There will be, Whitfield was stoned several times, and pastors of the traditional church were the ones encouraging
again,
people
who were
to
adherent to the king.
Do that and worse, right?
Yeah.
I mean, the things that they are hardly mentionable, the things that pastors were encouraging people to shut Whitfield down.
Yeah. And there were even some of those that were associated with him that were actually killed.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Seward, for example. Yep. He was stoned and died as a result of the, he was a singer that accompanied him. So, it's very... those are stories we need to hear and need to find out about because it really grips your heart. I think they did that. I believe they did it for God, but they also did it for us. And to look how long, 250 years, unthinkable in the generations, how that foundation has lasted all these years.
Which we're relatively a young country in a lot of ways, but our Constitution is one of the oldest that still has been in continual existence.
Right.
And it's changed and it's morphed as it was built in to be able to do.
Right.
But it has been an enduring thing and it's been quite an incredible thing for sure.
Yes, it is. And only because it was founded on, unlike you said, the French Revolution, because God was in the founding.
Right.
And with them, it was man-made.
Right.
It doesn't work.
Right. Absolutely.
Won't endure the test of time.
Well, I know we're already, I know it doesn't seem like it, but we're already nearly out of time.
Right.
So is there anything you want to say just as a parting thing before we go?
No, just be intentional about it. You know, parenting with our kids and informing them about God's truth and about the history of this country as well. Those are things we have to be intentional about.
Right.
We wouldn't be intentional to the point that it becomes organic. It's just natural.
Right.
But parenting is hard work and shaping the, you know, we can read in Psalm 78, and 77 that we'll remember, but that's what we choose to remember so that we do not forget.
Right.
So just, I want to encourage you. There's so many great stories and kids still learn best through stories.
Yep.
And there's so many great stories to be told about, especially the founding of our country.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Phenomenal leaders. Yeah.
Well, I know that for us at any point, if you'd want to come and talk about any of these things, we'd be more than happy to sit down and chat with you through them as well. But thank you so much, as always, for joining us. We love getting to have this little moment where we kind of get to come into your home and you get to sit in this fake living room that we have here. But we're just so glad that you've joined us, and we'll see you next week.
Yeah, and tell others to join you too and
watch
it as well. I want to keep expanding this.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
See you guys.